Happier with us at WHYY, I'm Matt Gillum. Independence Hall is festooned with bunting. Ben Franklin is talking to visitors in Love Park, and City Hall is lit up in red, white, and blue. Years of preparation are coming into full bloom as Philly and the country prepares to celebrate the nation's 250th birthday. Joining us to gab about the garden and highlight the semi-quincentennial is author and horticulturalist Jenny Rose Carey. Hello, Jenny, and happy early 4th.
Hello, Matt. Happy 4th to you.
Well, let's start with a little bit of history. Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley have been a horticultural hotspot since the 18th century. What native blooms, local gardens, or pioneering plant scientists would have been delighting members of the Second Continental Congress in 1776?
Well, the main one is Bartram, John Bartram. And by hook or by crook, we still can go and visit. So John Bartram was actually the king's botanist before we became independent. How about that? And he was known for his collecting of native wild plants all the way up and down the East Coast. And then he brought them back to his farm on the banks of the Schuylkill and planted them and then shipped seeds and things off to Britain.
So was he a loyalist? Do we know?
Well, I'm not quite sure about whether he was loyalist, but after independence, he was good friends with George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and he even named a tree after Benjamin Franklin. It's called the Franklinia. And we in the Delaware Valley are actually the main place, when I've gone across the country, we are the main place where it grows, even though it comes from the banks of a river called the Altamaha, I think that's right, down in Georgia. But it's extinct in the wild. And because Bartram brought the Franklinia back to Philadelphia, maybe only 4 or 5 clones of them. So not much genetic diversity, but it's been multiplied and gone out to all our public gardens. I have one in my garden and it blooms in the summer. My kids always used to call it the fried egg tree because it looks a bit like white on the outside and the stamens of yellow in the middle.
Well, that's fascinating that we can trace that lineage from today all the way back then in a very concerted line.
So that's your horticultural bit of cocktail party conversation.
Bring it up at the barbecue this weekend.
I know, yes.
Well, let's quickly leave history in the past and talk about right now. The heat is absolutely stifling today and it's going to be just as bad tomorrow. What are some things gardeners should do pretty much right now to protect their plants from the extreme heat?
Well, the main thing is water early in the day. You know, as soon as the sun comes up, out you go, and give them a very deep watering. If you've got containers, I know we spend a lot of time talking about how containers should be well drained, but this week and maybe through some of the summer, you should actually put a saucer or something underneath. So when you've watered, the bottom of the container is still sitting in some water for a little bit because then it will absorb it during the day. And if you are doing container gardening, just really give them a very, very thorough water. And if you can move them together, like in proximity, that's a good one. Another thing is you can shade them. I've seen some very funny contraptions. You know those same bed sheets we used for that late frost?
Yes.
If they're still hanging around the laundry room, you can bring them out again. And if you've got a handy person, get some sticks and put them up over the things.
This is a great thing. Kids can do this. You can build a fort.
I know, but you don't want them playing in the vegetable bed maybe. But my lovely neighbor used to put an umbrella up or a parasol. And it just, you can't plant an instant tree. So, you know, it's like, what can I do? Because they are drying out, especially if you only planted them a few weeks ago. So you just have to tend those babies. Really, you know, just look after them.
The golf umbrella can do some double duty.
Yes. Just make sure it's tied down if we happen to get a strong wind.
Well, we are in for a scorching 4th of July. People are surely going to still be out barbecuing. Stay cool, grill masters, as you do that duty. But celebrations might be moving from the patio or the backyard into the house. Any suggestions for some good summer plants to gussy up the table and bring a bit of patriotic flair to the get-together?
Well, if you have flowers out in the garden, I always try and do a 4th of July arrangement. And my bee balm, my red bee balm is in full bloom. My blue larkspur is in full bloom. And my white yarrow is in bloom. So I always try and do a red, white and blue. Otherwise, just see what you can find in the patriotic colors.
Last up, we're going to go back to history. I just wonder how you perceive our relationship to gardening has changed in the decades since the bicentennial.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was still living in England in the bicentennial. It's interesting, in the 70s, there was still quite a concentration on food growing. I feel like it was still the hippie back to the land type movement from the 60s and 70s. So I would say it was more food focused. I think it's got more diverse since then. I mean, there are gardeners and horticulturists that I know that just really specialize in cacti or African violets or something. So I think it's got more diverse. Mind you, houseplants were a thing. Now I think of it, in 1976.
Well, history, horticulture, and a little bit of decorating. Lecturer and author Jenny Rose Carey is getting us ready for the biggest 4th of July in a while. Thanks for the good conversation, Jenny.
My pleasure, Matt.